Happy New Year, everybody. It's another edition of the Midnight Blue and Gold Launchpad. I'm Rocket Ryan Brandt.
I am PJ Spiller, a.k.a. Pat Gillick.
And I am Zach from the Mac, Powell Haida.
And we're so glad that you could join us here on this special edition. Once again, I think this might be our first ever two-time guest.
Yeah, I believe it is.
I feel honored.
we're honored. We got longtime Toledo women's coach Tricia Cullop join us. Tricia, thanks so much for joining us, and Happy New Year to you.
Thanks for having me, and Happy New Year to all of you.
So before we came on here, we talked about how, you know, it's been a long time since you've played a game. It was back on December 21st against Oakland. Mm-hmm. And that time just went really fast, didn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, our players on our staff all left town. Some of them left that evening because they had a short drive, and others waited till the next morning. Some caught flights, but everybody got a chance to go home until the 26th. And then we all came back and we started practicing again. But, you know, it's a time where, as a coach, you always worry about, first of all, you want to win the last game, so you don't worry about it the whole time you're gone, which we did. But you want to make sure that you're back in shape by the time you play MAC play. And so we've had to hit it with some conditioning and some up and down and really just fine tuning some things, adding some new sets during this time frame. And, you know, we were fortunate enough, sometimes during this time frame, we don't see our practice guys, and we're lucky that we've got some local ones that came in to challenge us. And people don't realize how important that is to us. But during the season, you know, we've got a squad of about 14 or 15 practice guys that rotate through practice that make us better. You know, they make you run the floor a little harder, pass fake, shot fake, rebound a little better. You know, they keep you on your toes. And I feel like when they do their job, our games are easier because they've made it hard for us all week.
So when the kids go home for break, do you give them any instructions like what they can eat, what they should do, any training just to keep them in shape over that those few days off?
My hope is that they get in the gym at some point and they're not sitting on the couch the whole time. But in the same vein, they need to see their families. They need to be with their families for Christmas if they can. Ella Daugherty was the only one that did not get a chance to go home because she's from Scotland. But she went home with Yanni Curry to St. Louis. But most of our kids had a chance to go home and really be around all their loved ones. And that's what you want to do during the holidays. And so, you know, I always feel like if we can do that, this is a good little segue for us. You know, we end one chapter of non-conference, we begin MAC play. So it's a good time to get your legs back, see your loved ones, eat some home-cooked meals, and then come back and see me. They always like me more when they've had a chance to go home.
So taking a look at the move into the MAC portion of the schedule, January seems like a very important month. You walk into the teeth of the schedule right off the bat. I mean, looking at all of your first five, six games, it's all the top half of the MAC. Yep.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. You know, we've got Western who's come in. They've got a different offense and a different defense that they're running. They've got the leading scorer in the MAC in Ross. Taylor Williams is a handful. She's a great rebounder, and she's a post player that can rebound and take the ball up the floor. You know, they make it a little bit different for you because anybody on their team that gets a rebound can push the ball in transition. A lot of people outlet to a point guard or a two guard, but, you know, it's a little different when anyone's bringing it up. And so we've had to work a lot on our transition defense. They're taking a lot of quick threes in transition, so we need to box out, make sure those long rebounds that we're gathering those. And then also their zone's a little funky. They run a zone that looks like a 1-3-1 to begin with, and then kind of merges into a matchup. And so, you know, we've worked a lot of time on that. I'm glad we've had some time to look at it and kind of dissect it so that we're more prepared. When we played Dayton, that was something that I really was disappointed with our zone offense. I didn't think we had enough touches inside and at the short corner and at the block. And we lived and died on threes, and thank goodness our defense prevailed. Because we did not shoot it well that night. We're traditionally a pretty good shooting team, but that night we were off and we still won. But I don't want to count on that every night.
So Coach, guys have a nice little six-game winning streak after losing back-to-back games. Those two back-to-back losses, that's, you know, obviously nothing to be sad about. I mean, you lost to a good very good Duke team. And Penn State, you could say you lost that game, but we all know what really happened. But anyway, it says on the schedule that that's what happened. But anyway,
that one will haunt me for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I'm still a little half honked about that one. But yeah, nice six-game winning streak going into the MAC season. It's got to be a good feeling to know that that first little test you guys passed with almost flying colors. Yeah.
You know, I was kind of looking at some of the national stats today, and I'm really pleased. You know, our kids, I think we're somewhere around 24th or 25th in the country. Maybe I don't hold me accountable on that, but let's say we're top 30 in assist turnover ratio. You know, Q and Soph are 2 and 3 in the league in assist turnover ratio. They're taking really good care of the basketball. We're shooting the free throws really well. I think we're top 25 in the country in free throw percentage. There's several stats that we could brag about, and I won't bore you with them, but one thing that I looked at that stuck out that we got to get better at is offensive rebounding. We're just not doing it. And you can't get through league play without doing that. I thought last year we rebounded offensively a little bit better, but all in all, I love our depth. I love how hard our kids are playing and competing. We challenged them with a difficult schedule. And at this segue, I feel pretty good about what we've done. And I'm really looking forward to MAC play. Obviously last year, it may be hard to replicate what we did. That was pretty amazing. And there's some teams that are pretty good that we've got to face, but we're very much looking forward to MAC play.
So taking a look at Western, you said they bring in the league's leading scorer. Your defensive schemes have worked really well all season. What's your thought process on implementing your offensive and defensive schemes? Like, you know, you talked a little bit about your high school basketball coach and how influential he was in your time at Purdue. Do you look back on some of the mentorship that you received when you were younger, and is that playing into effect now in the way you call a game?
Well, it is, but let me share something with you that I've got wiser since I've gotten older, that I've got a pretty talented staff. And instead of me thinking I've got to do every single thing, you know, kind of like in football, when you divide up duties, we've done that. You know, two of my coaching staff members, they own the defense. I can interject when I want to, but I'm going to give the credit where credit's due there. And that's Jesse Ivey and Mark Stevens. They do a tremendous job of implementing our game plan for everything. And then Daniel Page and I are worried about the offense and about how to attack things. So I feel really, really good about, you know, we all kind of implemented what we need to do this week. And our kids, what I like about it is the kids are hearing a different voice in different portions of practice. It keeps them a little bit more entertained, but it also, for an experienced staff, you know, Jesse Ivey's been a head coach before. She's not feeling bored over there sitting on the side waiting to listen to me talk the whole practice. I mean, I can't imagine how boring that would be. It gives her a chance to be who she is. And that's a great coach and have some ownership. It gives, you know, Danielle and Mark a chance to keep developing so that eventually, if they ever want to be a head coach, that they're more prepared. I don't want my assistants to be quiet and be on the side. I want them to have ownership in parts of what we're doing. And I'm really proud of the group that I have. This best staff I've ever had.
Yeah. And that's super cool. A lot of head coaches, you know, depending on who they are, where they're from, some of them are, you know, all them, everything. And, you know, seeing that you take your staff in accountable and, you know, listening to them is awesome. But, you know, with this starting the MAC play, you definitely have some tough competition. We got a couple big teams out there that, you know, I personally don't want to lose to. So, you know, coming up into the next month, is there any specific team that you think that's going to give us more trouble than another?
Well, you know, honestly, I don't think there's going to be an easy game in the league. I do think, you know, just starting out, you know, Western's hungry. They're getting better and better with the new offense they put in. You know, we swept them last year, so I'm sure they're really highly motivated. And there's no way I would ever look past them. We're excited to play this game. And then obviously we head on the road to play Northern Illinois. That's a long trip. I always worry about what we're going to play like when we get off the bus. They've got a talented team that really shoots the three well, and they've got one of the best post players in the league in Asia Davis. You know, she's one of the best at up and unders and dribble spins and just finds a way to get to the free throw line when she doesn't score. So she's a kid that's a double-double in our league every night. So, you know, she's going to be a handful, and you can't help out on her. You're going to give up threes. And I feel like that's always a really difficult place to play. And then obviously, you know, BG's healthy this year. They've got their point guard back. She's a big engine to what they do, and I know they're pleased with that. They've got a good record heading into MAC play. Ball State's talented. You know, Ball State and BG face each other in the first game, and that's going to be an interesting outcome because Ball State's got a great team as well. He runs a lot of screening actions that are really difficult. His kids do a wonderful job of reading it. He's got a lot of kids that can shoot the three. Allie Becky, their point guard, is very, very talented. And then I haven't even talked about Kent State yet. You know, Kent State's got a roster of, they've got two post players that can shoot the three like Nan. You know, the Thal kid's very, very good. But I think that top five is pretty darn good. And then there's not much drop off when you go below that. You know, Akron's got a good non-conference schedule, and I could go on and on. Buffalo's got a new coach, so we'll see what her team looks like by the time we see them. I'm sure they're going to get better and better as they go along. They're still learning what they want to do.
Now, Coach, I have to go back to work tomorrow. You know, we had a nice little long weekend. But one of the great things about being a Rockets fan is this week, I mean, we got stuff to do almost the entire week. We got the men tomorrow against Ball State. We got your ladies on Wednesday night against Western, then the men are home again on Friday. I mean, that's got to be an exciting way to come back from the holidays, is to have a lot of basketball filling up Savage Arena.
Yeah. You know, I looked today, we're 23rd in the country in attendance. And, you know, I know the men are doing really well as well. I think the guys are number one in attendance in the league right now. You know, we're so blessed. And I'm glad you say that, because our home court advantage, I think, is tremendous. We've got what I believe is the best facility in the league. And to have not only a great facility, but people in it that are cheering for you and making it a tough place for any opponent to come in and play is just outstanding. And then I think we've got a great advantage in MAC play because we're centrally located. You know, our trips are not as long as, say, Buffalo and Central and Northern Illinois and Ohio. You know, it's a big selling point for us in recruiting. We're not in class right now, but once we get back to class, you're not going to miss as much class when we travel, and you're going to get more rest in between games because we're in the middle.
Yes. So I know I'm not going to have you give us the worst venue in the MAC. What's the, you said Toledo's the best. What's the second best venue?
Yeah. You know, that's tough. I'd say we enjoy the rivalry with BG. That's a fun local rivalry just because we're so close together. You know, I think just because the rivalry, I would say that.
Okay.
That's a fun, you know, in women's basketball in our league, that is always the top drawing game when we play each other.
Right. Right. And I know if I've been to OU, the Convocation yeah. Center, when it gets mm-hmm. pretty packed. That's a good venue, but you know, when people don't come out and support them, that's kind of hard.
They in Western Michigan might win loudest band.
Yeah.
Because they sure do know my name.
So we've kind of reached this pause in the schedule in the middle of the season. I know a lot of different coaches have different goals for their team. Do you have any goals that you set up for like the halfway point of the season? Or if you do, did your team accomplish any of that? Or what's your thought process there?
You know, I was really pleased. Obviously we were all disappointed with the Penn State loss. I thought we could have got that one. And then that one quarter versus Duke, we were disappointed with our offensive execution because I thought defensively we did a pretty decent job. I would say right now I'm pretty pleased with where we are with the schedule that we put in front of our team. I don't think I could have asked too much more from them. Right now, I think the most important thing is that we get better at offensive rebounding. We continue to take good care of the basketball. I think there's some things offensively we can do a little bit better than what we have been doing. I want us to run a little bit more. I think we've got the horses to do it, and we've got the depth to do it. And at times, I think you hear me at practice constantly saying, throw it up the sideline, throw it, and yelling at our post players to run, because I do feel like we have the depth to do a little bit more, put a few more points on the board than what we're doing. But you know, I think in those areas we can still get better, but I'm really pleased. And I think the biggest thing for them goal wise right now is just, you know, not looking too far ahead. I think we were 19-1 in the league last year, cause we never looked too far ahead. We took it one game at a time, because the minute you start looking ahead, boy, somebody will make you humble in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah. That's definitely for sure. And I definitely agree with what you just said, you know, with, the play, the teams that we have played thus far, I think all those games so far have been either, you know, we've either won, or the games that we have lost, you know, like the Penn State loss, you know, us three sitting here are definitely going to say, well, we would have won that game if some things went our way. But then even the Duke game, I think we played some great quarters, and there's definitely a lot of things that we did great and some things that we did wrong. But man, I think we've done really well up to this point. And I like the way that, you know, taking one team on at a time.
You know? So, yeah, we're, you know, looking at the last time the MAC had two teams in the men's NCAA tournament. It was back in 1999 mm-hmm. when Wally Szczerbiak led Miami to that Sweet 16 appearance. Mm-hmm. Well, the women, to your knowledge, I couldn't find anything. Has the women's teams from the MAC ever had multiple bids in a season?
Yeah. In fact, for a couple of years back to back before the pandemic, that was happening. You know, we had Central and Buffalo that went a couple years in a row. And, you know, the disappointing thing was that during the pandemic, that changed. You know, the shortened season, the mid-majors didn't need a shortened season. Because a shortened season means you had less opportunities to prove yourself and prove you deserve to be in. And so I think the big goal right now is finding a way for, you know, in the women's side, the one thing I'm really proud of when we're in the room and or even if it's on Zoom, we talk about how we can all sacrifice so our league can be better. And I feel like a lot of people in our league are scheduling it pretty good. I think there's some that could still do better. In that department. But I feel like a lot of people are trying to do that recipe of what we're trying to do. They're playing quality opponents to try to beef up our, and you know what, if you got a rebuilding year, you need to schedule for wins. But if you've got a team that potentially could be in the top five in our league, you need to be sticking your neck out on the line so that our MAC as a whole can be better and that we can get more respect nationally. But if you don't play people, that's the first thing the committee is going to say to you. And that's what they said to us last year. And that's why we changed our schedule. Obviously, something we're still trying to figure out is how the net works instead of RPI. You know, in the RPI, I think we'd be in the 30s. If you looked at real-time RPI right now and in the net, it's a little different, a little higher score, which you want the lowest score possible. So, you know, I think we're learning a little bit about how to schedule with that new metric. And, you know, one thing that I'm noticing that I don't like about it is you get more points the worse you beat someone. Well, that's good, right? I mean, I want to beat someone, but there's times when I've got somebody beat and I want my bench to play.
Right.
And I don't necessarily care that I beat somebody by 40. If I've got them beat by 20, let's let the bench play. Let's develop the younger players. The net gives you more points if you beat them worse. And so you're starting to see some people understand that and beat the tar out of people because they know their net can grow. And I'm not a fan of that. I wish that there was some ways that we could, you know, tweak this a little bit differently.
Yeah. Style points is meant for college football for, you know, the invitational they have to decide the championship.
I just still think it's silly. I don't think it makes sense because like you're saying, coach, it's, you want everyone to play. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what, you want to get your girls in, especially if we're beating a team by 20, 30, 40 points. Why would you want your starters in there when you could get some more girls experience and, you know, get your starters rested up for the next game?
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm about developing. I want our younger players to get in there and get some real game experience. I'm not a coach that feels like every mistake I got to call a timeout to fix it. Film will do that the next day. But I need them to get in the flow of playing and get comfortable out there. If they're constantly looking over at me or worried about a timeout, that they're not going to play. You know, I need them to get used to playing with different combinations. And let's face it, sometimes if you've got a big lead, the worst thing that can ever happen is your best player gets injured. And I don't want to see that happen either. So those are things that our staff thinks about when we're in those situations. But I am starting to notice, you know, what's happening with the metric. And Todd and I've talked about it. It's different. It's a different way of looking at things.
Now, you mentioned, you know, teams in the MAC sacrificing for each other. I think Western Michigan did a pretty good job of that this year. Michigan and Michigan State back-to-back.
Yeah.
And then they go to Colorado, and then they just played Notre Dame. So, I mean,
I
their
agree.
Record shows 5-6. But, you know, this they went out and then they scheduled hard teams. So that's kind of what, like, goes back to what you were saying.
Well, and you look at our league, I believe Kent State beat Oklahoma State. Northern Illinois beat DePaul. You know, there's some good wins in our league this year, and then we beat Michigan. I think you don't see those kind of wins in our league every year, so I think that speaks to the strength. But, you know, you're not going to get those wins if you don't go play them. And so we've all got to stick our neck out and go play some of those games every year. How do you know unless you do it?
You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Coach, when we talked a little bit over the weekend, you said you were on a recruiting trip. Mm-hmm. Recruiting, the game has changed big time in the last couple of years, especially with the transfer portal. I mean, we've talked to the football coaches and their thoughts on the transfer portal. Just talk a little bit about what you think about the transfer portal. Is it something you're gonna use? Obviously not this year, having a pretty complete team, but you know, you have no freshmen on the roster. Is that, you know, are you going to look into the transfer portal, or, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the transfer portal has been like Christmas for our team. You know, we have several, I was just writing them down so I wouldn't forget, but, you know, Lanesia transferred from Akron last year. Nan Garcia transferred from Penn State a couple years ago. Hannah transferred from Indiana a couple years ago. Justina King transferred from Long Beach State last year. And then Jada Jansen 2 years ago transferred here. You know, in the beginning of the portal, I was scared of it. You know, it's like sometimes at a mid-major level, you get nervous that you develop someone and they're going to leave, and right when you've got them where you need them. And but I think right now our biggest thing is let's really develop our relationships with our players. Let's work hard. I think Toledo is a hard place to leave because it's a great facility, great academics, unbelievable fan base. You know, I think we've got a lot of good things going for us. There's a lot of things to do in this city. You know, I've been to universities that I've worked at that are out in the middle of nowhere. And I haven't even talked about some of the other things, like the advantage of being centrally located. And let's face it, women's basketball matters here. And I love that. I love selling that in the recruiting process. But I think it's got to be the right kid. We're not just going to go after any kid. If somebody messages me and says, hey, I'm thinking about coming to Toledo, I'd like to transfer there. My first conversation is with their coach they just played for. So talk to me about the pluses and minuses of this individual. And, you know, is there any red flags that I need to know about? Because if there were red flags at that institution, they're going to bring them to Toledo. And right. I'm very guarded. I think our players and our coaching staff have done a wonderful job of guarding our chemistry and our culture. And our culture is, you know, we talk about being blue collar, outworking people, and then gold standard, having the highest standards. We want to win the league, but we want to do it in a classy way. And we're just going to flat out outwork you. And so, you know, I think if a kid's going to come here, they got to buy into that. They got to be somebody who goes to class. They got to be coachable, great teammate, whether they play or not, and help us in an area that we need help. We took Justina because Soph played too many minutes last year. And I laughed with Soph when we brought her in. I said, I hope you don't mind. We've got to bring in somebody to help you. And she goes, no, thank you. I don't want that. So that tells you what a great teammate she is. But, you know, I really feel like our transfers that we've taken have really, really helped us. And I'm not saying we won't go to the portal. We're not going to load up, but there's still some opportunities. We signed two kids early that are high school kids. So we will have freshmen next year. I know it's a different idea, right? But after that, you know, we may look at a transfer too if we feel like we need that for next year.
Okay, you mentioned great facility, great fan base, great city, and of course, a top-notch podcast like the Midnight Blue and Gold Launchpad.
I mean, of course.
Yeah, I guess that went without saying. So. Yeah,
that's a given.
So, yeah, there you go. So, you know, one of the things that I like about living up here is the coaches show. Every Monday, Stubborn Brother, You got Jimmy Heller doing it, whether it's him or somebody else. But that's, some coaches I don't think enjoy that part of their job. But you seem to revel in it. You seem to enjoy going out there and taking questions from the fans. And of course, how can you not have fun sitting next to Mr. Jim Heller?
Well, first of all, Jim's awesome. He is one of the best you can work with. He is a pro. He knows his stats upside down. And I love his sense of humor. Every kid and every coach, I think, has a nickname on our staff. But our fans just love listening to him because they feel like they're there. And I think that's the best compliment you can give someone when they're doing your games. But I enjoy a lot of our fans come out to Stubborn Brother and they're a part of the process. You know, they almost become family members to you. So we enjoy going out there and for our kids to interact with them a little bit. I've always been a believer, and I tell recruits this, not only do we average 4,000 fans a game, but that's 4,000 people that maybe could open a door to help you get a job when you're done. And so right. for our kids, not only to learn from them, but also to get, you know, tips from them about, you know, you probably ought to be looking for an internship right now. Maybe come job shadow me if it's something that, you know, you're interested in. I love that our players have those opportunities. But even, you know, let's say we lost a game. Our fans are great about picking kids up. And when they go into the stands after a game, not only are they getting told great job, but sometimes it's like, hey, pick yourself up. We're here because of you, not because of the score. And we love that about our fan base.
You know, going back to Heller, one of my favorite ones is when he was hosting, it was probably before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Let's welcome to the stage the greatest thing out of Omaha since Marlon Perkins and Wild Kingdom, Quenisha Lockett, come on up here. And I think me and one other old person were the only people that laughed. Nobody else got it.
He's always got side jokes, but I enjoy him. You know, I remember when we had the two English kids, he would always say, you know, they're dialing up the queen when they would hit a three. He always has a great sense of humor and he makes it fun.
Oh, yeah. The Helsinki Hammer.
Yep.
Rokinen. That was a good one. And the mayor, of course, doing a good job for
mayor
you.
Mayor Rasta. Yeah.
I mean, she's let's talk about her a little bit. Sammy McConowitz. She's quite a player. I mean, a person who was basically, didn't she? I think she walked on and then earned a scholarship almost right away. But yeah, you know more than I do because you're the one who brought her in.
Well, we were, you know, when she was a senior in high school, I kept watching her scores in the paper. And, you know, we didn't have a scholarship at the time, but I just told our staff, I'm like, I need somebody to go out there and put eyeballs on this kid because her stats are really good. And Danielle Page on my staff went out to watch her play. And she called me after the game and she said, Coach, you got to get out and see this kid. I think you're going to really like her. So I don't know, maybe a week later, they were in the tournament and I went down to watch her play. And Sammy must have had 30 points, probably 12 rebounds. She took two charges. She was diving on the floor. She was literally bringing the ball up the floor and then passing to the guard, then going and posting up and scoring. And then, you know, guarding the best player on the other team. And what's not to like, right? Kid did everything. So when we talk about blue collar, Sammy's blue collar. She's a kid that's very humble, has one of the best work ethics on my team. She's so coachable. I mean, coachable to a fault, but the kids just love her. I mean, she is a wonderful human being. She's a great basketball player. He just keeps getting better. This year, you know, people really have to guard her from the three-point line in addition to on the block when she posts up. But, you know, we switch 1 through 4 defensively. So Sammy's got to guard point guards and two guards and three guards. And I really am impressed with her consistency. Night in and night out, she's usually our leading rebounder. Night in and night out, she's close to double figures. She's just a great kid, and we're really lucky to have her.
And I noticed, too, the way she moves when she doesn't have the ball. She seems like a very athletic type of person. I mean, looks like she could play any sport, possibly.
She is, and she plays bigger than what she is. You know, she's in there rebounding against 6'2 kids sometimes, and you don't really notice because her vertical is so high and her timing is so good.
Mm-hmm. All right, Coach. Well, we thank you once again for joining us here. A two-time appearance. I mean, that's unheard of. Normally people have enough of us after the first time. So.
Well, you guys are a lot of fun, and you have no idea how much we appreciate your support of Toledo Athletics. And I just appreciate, it's an honor. It's an honor to be a two-timer.
There you go. In a good way. It's a two-timer in a good way.
And anytime you guys need me back, you let me know.
We will, Coach. Thank you so much again for joining us. And possibly we'll be talking about a MAC championship later in the season.
I mean, I'm looking, like, I know, Coach, I know you're not looking farther ahead than just a MAC championship, but I am looking for that NCAA run real quick. I mean,
not to put any pressure on your
hand. No, not to put any pressure, but I think we got the team, I think we got the people, and I think we got, as long as the MAC goes the way we all hope, I think we'll have the record to back it up. So,
well, we're going to start with Western.
And we'll move on from there.
We're going to day by day, but you know, the long-term goal is that's where we want to be.
Yes. All right, Coach. Well, thanks so much for joining us and good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
All right, thanks, Coach.
TOL.
EDO.
Almost 2 weeks removed from the Rockets' thrilling 21-19 victory over Liberty in the Boca Raton Bowl. Guys, it was 21-7, and we thought, oh, let's have another beer. And all of a sudden, shit started hitting the fan.
Yeah, we were all over at your house, Rocket, and, you know, watching the game in spirits. And for a minute there, it was like, yeah, oh, yeah, no, nothing to worry about here. And then
fourth quarter came around.
Yeah, and that's when things kind of shifted directions a little bit. Luckily, we still ended up locking it up. But
yeah, I don't
know. The bottom line is we got the win, and that's all that matters. And the MAC finishes 4-2 in the bowl season. That's pretty, the best in the country of all the conferences, out of 10 of them.
Nice.
Yeah. So
OU got the win at the
Barstool Bowl.
That would have been a fun bowl to be at the Barstool Bowl. Yeah, you know that. Yeah. That was probably fun. But yeah, man, jumping in this game, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed by both Finn at you know, when he needed to, when he got hurt, I wasn't impressed by that. But, you know, Tucker Gleason came in and did a decent job.
Yeah.
But then Finn came back and did what we needed to do to get the victory. One of the cool things I found was that was the top-rated cable program on that Tuesday night. So,
had 1.5 million viewers.
Yeah, and that was more than the two NBA games on that night. The Grizzlies, Nuggets, Warriors, and Knicks. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was...
That's super good. Yeah, man. Like you said, Daquan Finn, man, since that MAC championship game, he has been back. He's been playing the way he was playing at the start of the season. God, I love watching that kid play when he's healthy. It mm-hmm. is amazing. Now, like you said, Rocket, he did get hurt. And seeing Tucker Gleason come in, you know, at the start of the season, I had a little bit of doubts, whatnot. But, man, I love Tucker. I think that kid can play a little bit more ball for us anytime he wants.
Yeah, he's solid whenever he comes in, and there's not really a drop-off in talent. No. I mean, he brings a different set of skills, but there's no drop-off in talent.
Yeah, he came in. I mean, he was 2 for 4 for 50 yards, but at the same time, we were running the ball a lot that time. I know Jacquez Stewart and Penny Boone did some running for us, and then also Micah Kelly had some good runs. So, I mean, all over the board, I just think we played a sound game other than the fourth quarter where our defense might have got a little lackadaisical or who knows what happened. But we had that goal line stop, right? You know,
right. It's weird because we had such a good defense all year.
Yeah.
But there was a few games where it's like in the fourth quarter, what the hell happened?
Maybe you guys just get gassed gassed or whatever. I mean, I got to give it up to them. You know, my buddy Adam muffed that punt, and they're on the 8 or 7, and our defense we held strong. To go 4 and out like that
was absolutely
awesome.
And you mentioned Jacquez Stewart earlier. I mean, he finished the game with 111 yards rushing on 20 attempts, so he's picking up big chunks of yards.
Oh, yeah, 5 yards a carry.
Yeah. I mean,
the kid was moving his legs that night. And you got to give it to the offensive line, give him some space to run. But,
oh, yeah.
Man, I mean, I would have liked to see a little bit more of my man Penny Boone. 6 carries for 25 yards. Still, though, not a bad average. You know, you're averaging 4.3 yards a carry. I mean, you got to give it up to the whole team, though. We did play a sound game all the way through the third. That fourth quarter just got a little rocky, but at least we got out with the win.
We got out with the win.
And like you guys were saying, Mac 4-2 in the Bulls. That's nice for our Mac boys.
Yes, it is. And to finish 9-5. Double-digit wins would have been nice. Maybe mm-hmm. we're also close to maybe just having one loss this year.
And it comes back to San Diego State.
Yep, San Diego State, Buffalo, even at Western Michigan, things got away, got a little sideways there. But, you know, MAC championship, that's something you can control.
Mm-hmm.
Bowl win, that's something you can control. So two of the things they could control, they ended up accomplishing, and congrats to Jason Candle and the boys.
They finished out the season strong, and hopefully that'll roll into next season when they open up with
at Illinois.
Yeah.
The only thing that that still is bugging me to this day is the loss to BG. That's look, I say it all the time. When you have a big rival like that, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, BG, UT, whatever it is, I don't care if you win any game as long as you win that game.
Yeah.
And so losing to BG was kind of like my biggest heart
disappointment for the season.
You know, but it's all good. We still had a good season winning the MAC and you know, being above 500 team.
Well, yeah, and I think for the players that are coming back, that taste will be bitter in their mouth.
Yeah, there will be no letting up early on that one.
Yeah,
and an open voiced letter to the Mid-American Conference, especially you, Dr. John Steinbrecher. Do not put Toledo at BG on a weeknight. That's bullshit.
That is
exactly.
I'm tired of this weeknight bullshit. Exactly. I'm done with it.
That rivalry game should be played on a Saturday. Make it the MAC opener for both teams. I'm willing to die on. I've said that 85 times. Make it 86 now on this podcast.
So, the football season wrapped up a nice, the football team wrapped up a nice season. And like we said, hopefully they'll roll into next season. And
just off the top of my head, that game at Illinois is a very winnable game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if we have everybody, if we have Finn coming back and
have some people step up on defense. Yep.
As of what we've heard so far, I think The biggest thing we'll be losing on this offseason is some of our defensive guys.
Yeah.
The Johnson fellas along with Jamal Hines.
Yep. And that's going to be a big hit to us, I think, because both our Johnson boys and Jamal Hines are, I mean, they are game changers.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Every play.
Yeah, you know, Jamal's going to be playing on Sundays.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the Johnson guys are both got a good shot to make a team.
Absolutely. Yeah. It'll be nice to see him play, you know, in the NFL, especially Jamal Hines. I think he, like you said, I think he'll be playing on Sundays, man.
Yeah,
it'll be nice to see that, but
yeah,
wouldn't mind having him with us.
That'd be nice.
And one of the things I've heard about him, he's a heck of a nice guy, too. I met him once, and he seemed very nice, but people that know him say he's just a good character kind of guy, so
that's awesome.
We wish him luck.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And do we want to touch on the men's basketball a little bit, Ryan?
No. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. So Rockets opened MAC season tomorrow, Tuesday night. Depends on when you listen to this. Tuesday, January 4th against Ball State. Both teams go in at 9-4. Been kind of a weird non-conference schedule for Todd Kowalczyk and the boys. You know, probably could have 10 wins or more, but some things just got, again, a little sideways. I'm using that phrase twice tonight. Sure. I apologize for that. But, yeah, the MAC, you know, they're two-time defending regular season champs. Hopefully they can start out strong and just continue it through the year and finally break down that door that hasn't been busted through since 1980.
Well, you saw him play the other night against Lourdes, NAIA school here in town.
Yeah.
And Lourdes put up a decent fight at the beginning, but
yeah,
we ended up beating them pretty handily.
About 15.
103 to 88.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was one of those games where I think, you know, this was a great opportunity for Lourdes to come in and knock off a Division I program. And it was nip and tuck throughout in the first half. It was, you know, very, very tight. And hats off to Dennis Hobson and the boys for coming through.
Yeah, that was a replacement game for the Rockets. They were originally scheduled to play Arkansas, and Arkansas backed out on the contract.
And they were scared.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was. They knew what happened back in 2015 when the football team went down there.
Oh, I still got the crying towel.
That's awesome. That's a great story. So,
I mean, even our men are still looking good. I think we got a great chance.
They're in good shape.
Yeah. I love the guys, but don't get me wrong. Right now, I think my heart's with the women. I think I want to see them just go all the way because, you know what? They have a great program, and
it's about time they got notoriety.
Yeah, and you can't hate them. There's nothing to hate about them. No. Yeah. It's all love there.
Yep.
All love.
And all I still love. All love to the men, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So, got that strong urge for the women.
Yeah. Well,
not that kind of urge, Pat.
No.
Really, it's just Nan Garcia. I don't know. Never met her, but I'm her number one fan. Yeah. I don't care what anyone says.
I like her game.
I love her game. I love everything about it.
I mean, but, if she can hit threes like that, I mean, come on.
Oh, dude. It's lights out. But yeah, so we got Ball State and Western coming up with the men's, and I think we have the same. Just about we have Western and Northern for the women. So
right.
Oh, we'll see how the conference play starts.
Got some Broncos coming in this week to Savage Arena. So the Tuesday night game against Ball State. I'm sorry, that's January 3rd, 7 o'clock tip on CBS Sports Network. Then on Friday again, CBS Sports Network. That's a 6:30 tip. So you can get to the bars early then.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there for people that like to go to bars.
Yeah, I noticed they had the Baseline Cafe open at the men's game the other day.
They did, and probably because the students weren't there. That's what I'm thinking. But it'll probably be there for some women's games.
So. Got a little breaking news. When was this sent? From Kyle W. Smith. Jordan Strack on Twitter has just did a full list of BGSU players that have entered the transfer portal since the year ended. And this is a big list, guys. Big, big list. And this is a few of the guys, played a lot of football. Jordan Anderson, Jamari Banks-Wall.
Darren Anders, Tyrone Broden, Jadarius Brown, Owen Rozank, Justin Sheets, Kellen Adler, Lyuris Manzi, Davin
Ferguson,
Dominic Konopka, along with Marcus Shepard and Javante Kinsey. All entered the transfer portal. That's
a big list.
That's a lot of spots that just opened up where they could go out and pull people off the transfer portal themselves.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to make fun of this because I do not want that happening for us. So
Right, no.
No, and I don't think we'll see as big a list as that from Toledo. But, man, I mean, you think you're a second-string guy. You feel like you deserve a little more time. Or maybe you're a first-string guy and you just don't love the program. getting in that portal, which is good for these kids, man, you know, to get out and get more play time somewhere else. But man, that's a big list. I mean, you talk about two or three guys maybe getting in it, but what is that, 10?
Right. So it makes you wonder if Loeffler might just be a little too tough on him. You know, some of these kids, and then some of them were starters last year, and they may be looking to go to a bigger program. Some clown on Twitter, and it goes by Bowling Green Football, actually said, listen to this crap. He was saying that one of the players is getting a ton of big offers in the portal, blah, blah, blah. Either way, this can be used as a recruiting tool. Excel at BG and you can go anywhere. Why would you want to bring players in to have them leave?
Makes no sense.
I mean, that shows you the mentality of this guy. It's at BG Football Talk. Yeah. Again, I'm calling you out, buddy. I'm sure you're a swell guy.
But that, it's just like you said, it doesn't make sense. Like, why? Yeah, exactly. Why do you want to bring them in, have your coaches form a player that you want to have, and then, oh, here you go, kid, you know, go play at a Big Ten school or an SEC school?
So since we last got together, we did pick up someone on the football team in the transfer portal. Sean Munnerlin, 6'5", 205 receiver.
Oh,
out
wow.
Out of Rutgers.
It's a big boy.
Yep.
Played in Columbus and probably wants to get closer to home.
Yeah. I mean, get closer to home, and, you know, you look at the UT football team. We're not a slouch.
No.
You are coming to play for a good school, good program, great fan base.
9 national games this past year.
Yeah. So,
yep.
Well, hopefully that'll be fun to have a big, big, tall receiver out there coming to play some
replace ball. Matt Landers, you know, who left.
Left and went down to
Arkansas. I can't believe we mispronounced it exactly the same way.
I know.
You can tell we've been hanging around.
Are you guys talking about Arkansas?
Yeah, is it Arkansas?
Arkansas, no. Arkansas, whatever you say.
We're Arkansas. Close.
But God's dumping ground.
Well, on that note, maybe we should wrap this up.
I pissed off all the Razorback fans that are listening.
Hey, well, we beat them, so exactly. They have no room to talk until they come play us again.
Which right. They won't.
So, on behalf of engineer producer extraordinaire Kyle W. Smith, and again, thanks to Tricia Cullup, women's basketball coach at UT, for joining us. I'm Rocket Ryan Brandt.
I'm PJ Spiller.
And I'm Zach from the Mac Pop Hida.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a good night and TOL.
EDO.